Today, I'm going to be talking to Daniel Burka. Daniel, thanks for sitting down and chatting with me. I think that a lot of people will be interested to hear what you have to say today, is because you've been an influential person in the community, both from a practitioner's perspective and also somebody who has a clear point of view and is good at communicating about how you think about what you do. So we can start off by just you talking a little bit about yourself and what you've been up to and where you've come from.
Well, thanks for having me on. It's great talking with you. In high school, many moons ago, some friends and I started a small web agency, originally called Whiteland Studio. That's a bit of a trivial knowledge, that later became Silver Orange. This was back in 1999, and we built this company up. We were a bunch of kids, and we built up, you know, this small agency in Eastern Canada into a fairly well-recognized web development and web design shop that's still operating today, even though I'm not currently there full-time. And then when I was at Silver Orange, did a lot of work with Mozilla. So I redesigned Mozilla.org and was part of the Firefox and Thunderbird branding project, and later ended up working on Dig, the news website, and worked at Dig from, I guess I was the fourth employee at Dig, and eventually left last October after it had millions of users and the company had grown quite a bit. And now I'm working on a project called The Glitch with a company called TinySpec. So a bunch of the ex-Flickr guys have put together a company, and we're building a massively multiplayer online game in the browser called The Glitch.
That sounds like quite a varied career that you've had in a relatively short span of time. Why don't you talk a little bit about Glitch and just what's it been like for you as a user experience designer to jump into designing games?
It's very bizarre to be working on a game. It's not something I really expected to be doing. And the game's coming along really well, so I'm really excited about it. I joined in October when the project was already fairly started, and for the last month we've been building a lot of disparate tools, so all the bits that will function soon as a full game. And over the last few months it kind of feels like we've been working in a bit of a thick fog. And just in the last month or two, it's suddenly coming into focus. And instead of being just solely a bunch of tools, it's starting to develop into content and fun and an actual game. You know, you can sit down for a few hours and really play, and there's continuity and narrative in there. So that's really fun. But it's weird. Things move, and there's lots of different challenges that are very, very different from building web apps. The idea that friction can be a good thing in a game. You know, a large part of gameplay is about friction and overcoming challenges, which is a very different kind of UI problem than we deal with in web applications. The other big challenge for me has been that there's a very, very deep history in game UI design. In web applications, you know, we're pretty much in our diapers. I'm not that old, and I was there near the beginning of the web, and we've learned some conventions and we figured some things out. But game UI goes back decades before I was born, and so I feel a little bit out of touch with what's possible, what has been done, what's failed before, what succeeded before. And so I'm learning a lot of that as I go.
Do you feel pressure to live up to that tradition that's been developing over the years in gaming? Or do you feel like this is an opportunity for you to maybe make your mark and import a different perspective coming out of the UI, UX design world?
I think that's accurate. So I think it's a double-edged sword. So on one hand, I'm excited to bring a fresh perspective to building a game. And I think a lot of game UI is similar to, you know, operating system or web application UI. I think that bringing that level, the idea of some of the tenets of usability and easy functionality, so I think that's been underemphasized in the past. But at the same time, I feel a considerable amount of pressure and some unconfidence even working on a game when there is this deep history that I don't understand, because I know that there's a lot of challenges that have been solved, and I don't want to be reinventing the wheel just for the sake of doing something differently. You know, if I'm going to change from game tradition, I want to at least know when I am messing with people's habits and people's knowledge.
You mentioned a few examples in there. You talked about friction and intentionally building in challenge, which to some extent goes against the grain of what any good user experience designer is supposed to do, which is remove that friction and promote flow. Was that surprising when you came across these new challenges? And have you found that it's been tough to go against some of the instincts that maybe you've developed over the years working on projects like Dig and Pounce and some of the other work that you did with Silver Orange?
It's been very, very difficult. I've had a really hard time wrapping my head around the idea that friction can be a good thing. Web applications, the overarching imperative is always being ease of use. And part of the reason for that is the web being so young and web applications are so damn hard for people to use. We're only just emerging from the era where a successful application is one that's not just simply usable by everyday people. Because up until now, that's really been the measure. Can my mother use it? Can my grandmother use it? These kinds of examples come up in meetings with web application people all the time. And so on the web, we make things as simple as possible, and we try to remove as much friction as possible. But in a game, you're often trying to do exactly the opposite of that. Much of the fun in a game involves solving puzzles and learning how to achieve objectives more efficiently. So you actually want to learn how to do things more efficiently. For instance, in our game, we've got butterflies. Of course, you need to massage butterflies to get butterfly lotion. And so we could make it so simply by clicking on the little fellow from anywhere on the screen, it would massage him. But that's not fun at all. It's useful and easy, and you could collect as much butterfly lotion as you wanted. But instead, we make you work for it. So you have to figure out how to get within the radius of the butterfly, and we give him an unpredictable path, so it makes it hard to catch up to him. And then you have to massage him at just the right moment, so you've got to catch him in the sky. But there's an element of learning and mastery to that, and a level of mystery as well. And that's right. Part of what makes the game fun. But at the same time, we're always thinking that there's a very fine line between what's challenging and what's frustrating. So right. I want something to be challenging, but I want you to be able to master it. Through work and through bending your brain a little bit, you should be able to figure out something and figure out how to do it more efficiently. But I don't want something just to be unnecessarily confusing.
So because you get to conceive of all of those things, in a sense, you're building both the world and the set of rules and constraints that you're working in, and then you're also designing the affordances and the ways that a user can actually engage in that world and interact. Do you find that frustrating, or is that part of the fun? Do you find it tough to deal with something that's so potentially open-ended because you could essentially make this game world to be anything that you wanted?
A game world can't be just anything. We're clearly building in rules and even just having gravity in the game. You can only carry so many things in your pack. We set these constraints, and this is, again, part of what makes a game fun is the rules. In some ways, I find this really comforting because in a lot of ways, it's very similar to Dig. We had a huge, passionate community, and we had basically set up a game with certain rules in it. And so there's constraints. You can only dig a story once, but you can dig any number of comments, again, only once. We don't show how many votes down a story has gotten. We only show the votes up. But in comments, we do show up and down. So you add all of this together, and it's very much a game system. And so it was actually funny that we'd have these debates about, well, our users are doing X. Is that fair or not fair? And sometimes people at Dig would get upset that, well, so-and-so is a gamer, and they'd use the word gamer as a pejorative. But we had built a game. I mean, you couldn't deny
right.
it. And so people
yeah.
were just pushing the limits of what you could do with the system. And in many right. ways, we ended up building features and building additions to the site, adding an images category. Many of the revisions we made to the comment system, these types of things were done because we saw how people were playing the game in directions we didn't expect. And so we adapted to fit that model.
At the time, did you think of Dig as a game, or is this a new idea that you've had since working on Glitch?
Well, we definitely thought of Dig as a game. So that's something I thought of well before I worked on Glitch. But after having worked on explicitly something that's a game, I see many more places where explicit game ideas and interactions could play a much stronger role in something like Dig or Pounce. I even think sign-up forms, simple sign-up forms, when you go to Mint, for instance, the finance site, and you go down their sign-up form, and it gives you a little indicator after each time you enter something acceptable within a form input, say your username. Cool, that one's unique. And then you get down to the next one, and it's a password, and it tells you how strong it is, and you move to the next thing. It's like, yay, that's good. Those kinds of things, you can play with those and make them feel much more game-like. We've asked you to do something. Here's a quest for you. fill it out, and it gives you that game-style feedback. Yay, you're on the right track. You're doing the right thing. You've almost completed your quest. Those kinds of things, I think, can be very, very powerful, and I'd love to give much more satisfaction, a lot more joy to something, like even hitting a dig button. Right now, it's such a tepid experience.
Gaming ideas and principles and, in some cases, patterns are becoming a popular topic in interaction design. Do you see this as a trend that will continue to grow and gain steam?
I'm really excited about this movement. I think the idea that web applications are now becoming mature enough that we can start thinking about joy and about surprise and making a much more rounded experience than just one that's usable, I think that's really exciting. And then you see people like Dan Cook, who's actually working with us a bit on this game. He's got a blog called The Lost Garden, and he did this famous example fairly recently, maybe a year ago, where he turned Microsoft Office into a game. And he made the argument that a system like Office is a very complex system, and everybody just uses bits of it, but they all use different bits of it. And in order to introduce people to the whole scope of what's possible in such an application, you can use game mechanics to get there, to give people a rich experience and a rich knowledge of an application. If people haven't seen it, you should really look it up. It's The Lost Garden, it's his blog. What's really interesting about this is going to be in ways where we see this kind of stuff done in ways that aren't so explicitly a game. I remember listening to a talk at a conference a few months ago that was going around the internet where someone was talking about how we're going to turn the medical system into a game and how the DMV should be like a game. And that stuff's awesome, and I think some of it has potential. But in a lot of places, we're going to see game ideas put into applications in ways that we're not going to see it and say, hey, that's just like a game. So it's going to be much more subtle ways and much more disparate ways than building a full integrated game into an application. Giving satisfaction when people do things.
How do you stoke your creative process? What influences and points of reference do you find yourself coming back to?
I play a lot of games. So that's not a bad place to start. I've been noticing a lot more, particularly in the more traditional web app sphere, where people are doing these playful, usually very simple things that make interfaces much richer. On Photo Jojo, for instance, which is this really nice photo store, if you go to one of the product pages, there's a little handle on the page and it says, do not pull. And of course, everyone pulls it. And it actually anchors you down to the information about the product. And it's such a simple thing, a little bit of JavaScript and a funny looking little button. It adds to the brand a lot and makes it more fun to use their application. It's not just, okay, I'm going to check out with an e-commerce store. It's satisfying. HuffDuffer, for instance, Jeremy Keith's site, has a sign-up form, and it's written like a Mad Lib. I am, and then it's got a blank fill in your name, and I like blank, and it tells you to fill in a band. It takes such a typical form, but it just changes the shape of the form and changes the context, makes it much more playful. And apparently that's had a significant impact on their sign-up, which is fantastic. That's the overall goal, right?
How do you balance the rational, thoughtful process of thinking through these things with the artistic, more explorational part of your process? Do you find there's a tension between those two, or do they fit together? Does one inspire the other?
Josh Porter posted a quote, must be about 2 years ago, that was actually from the Shakers in New England. It said, don't make something unless it's both necessary and useful. But if it is both necessary and useful, don't hesitate to make it beautiful. It mirrors so closely what my process is with design, is to consider whether or not the product itself makes sense, and then consider how to make it useful for somebody. And then after that, it's, okay, how can I make this not only useful, but can I make it beautiful? And in the sense of a game, how can I also make it beautiful and fun? I love the word joyful. I think, you know, making an interface joyful is the ultimate of what we can achieve.
So you're trying to create moments of joy in what you're designing?
In the last year or so, I've started taking that aspect much more seriously. Yeah, absolutely. I'm not trying to just make the world a better place. It's good design. It's good for business.
Yeah.
I think it's something we should all strive for.
I think a lot of people, but especially new people to the field, would probably be interested to hear how some of these opportunities happen for you. It seems to me like you've taken risks. You started your own shop. You joined startups. You've moved into new territory that would seem to stretch your comfort zone. What has guided the decisions you've made in terms of your career over the last decade or so?
It's funny because I'm not a huge risk taker. I'm not into totally extreme sports or anything like that. But on one hand, we haven't been afraid to just go out and build things. At Silver Orange, for instance, one of our big breaks came from working with Mozilla on Firefox and the Mozilla.org website. And that came about because one of our guys, Steve Garrity, sat down and wrote a letter to Mozilla, you know, an open letter on the internet that said, wonderful software, your branding's terrible, you won't succeed unless you address this. And somebody from Mozilla contacted him and said, well, if you think it should be fixed, you should fix it. And we're like, shit, we just volunteered. And so we went and worked on that, and that turned out really well. You know, something like Dig, we just started off as a normal project, but it was really exciting and seemed to have some potential. And then I got more and more involved in it and started pouring my heart into it. And eventually that became something really huge. I wouldn't say yes to everything, but just go out and try as much as possible. And if you don't have awesome projects in your queue, go off and just build something new. If you're just a designer on your own, go redesign, make the best banking site you could imagine. I think it's so great for honing your skills and for flexing your muscles and showing what you can do. That kind of work, learned by building, I think is so important. More important than going to a design school or studying human interface design or something.
Is there anything in particular you look for when you're considering a prospective project or working relationship with a new partner?
Just its potential. Is it a good project? Is it doing something half-decent for the world? And does it have potential to be something wonderful? So if it's a limited idea that could be great within a small niche, then that's okay. You know, you never know. Glitch could have 30 million people doing all kinds of crazy social interactions in a couple of years. Something like Dig. You know, I remember the days when Dig was exciting, when we got over 1,000 digs on a story. And then that was nothing back then. You know, we had very, very small traffic. But the potential was there for that to be a huge idea.
So what's next for you? Are you thinking beyond Glitch at this point yet, or are the possibilities endless at this point?
I mean, I'm definitely not thinking past Glitch. This is a huge project with a huge amount of potential. We'll see where it's at in a couple of years. I've never known more than 12, 14 months ahead where I'm going to be. So it's all working out, and I anticipate it will continue to work out.
Thanks for taking the time to talk to me today. I really appreciate it. And I just want to wish you the best of luck with Glitch and all of your other projects and everything you're up to.
Thanks so much. It's really great talking with you.